If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning of verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So you come to these verses about getting along together. Let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Father, again, we look to you. Lord, as Paul writes about how Christians get to get along together, about Christian relationships. Lord, give us wisdom that we can apply these verses to ourselves and not just look at them as being old-timey words. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. After watching a television program about rebellious youth, a husband turned to his wife and said, "What a mess. Where did our generation go wrong?" The wife calmly answered, "We had children." Seriously, it seems that no matter where we look in our society today, we see hostility, violence, division, and rebellion. Husbands and wives are divorcing one another. Children are rebelling against their parents. Employers are shutting down shops. Employees are striking for a variety of issues. And on top of it all, there's violence everywhere. Paul wrote about this to a young preacher by the name of Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Writing to this preacher, the young preacher in the city of Ephesus, he wrote, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." Could be writing about today for all we could see here. As a society, we've tried education, legislation, and every other approach that can be come up with by mankind, but nothing seems to work. Peace and harmony seem to be out of reach. This just proves what we all know. You cannot legislate morality. There's only one solution: regeneration. That is, a new heart from God and a new submission to Christ and to one another. Harmony begins with spiritual harmony with God. Then harmony with one another will follow in the lives of Christians as they submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And as Ephesians 5:21 says, as we submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. Last week, we saw that God's plan for harmony between a Christian husband and a Christian wife demands that first they submit one to another. Following that, Paul went on to explain that the husband must love his wife with a sacrificial love, just as Christ loves the church, while the wife must respect her husband. In today's scripture, Paul addressed two other groups of Christians and described how their relationships can have harmony in Christ. The first relationship is between children and parents. Paul wrote, that Christian children should obey their parents. He then gave four reasons why they should obey. First, they are Christians. Paul wrote, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In Colossians 3:20, Paul put it this way, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Christian children are to put themselves under the words and authority of their parents. They are to submit one to another, because to do so is to obey and honor the Lord, to please Him. Paul then added, for this is right. That is, obedience is right. There's an order in nature that's ordained by God. Since the parents brought the child into the world, and since contrary to childish beliefs, parents have more knowledge and wisdom than the child, it's right that the child obey his parents. In today's society, Ephesians 6:1 probably would read, parents, obey your children, for this will keep them happy and will bring peace in the home. But this is contrary to God's will. This is a lie from Satan. This is part of the devil's plan to undermine, to weaken, destroy the family. But the right thing to do is for the child to obey his parents. Paul's third reason that children should obey their parents is that obedience is commanded. Obedience is commanded. The fifth commandment of the ten, found back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, says, honor your father and your mother, so you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. To honor one's parents means more than simply obeying them. It means to show them respect and love, to seek to bring honor to them by the way one lives his life. Of all the Ten Commandments, and Jay got us started on this morning too, of all the Ten Commandments, this is the only commandment that relates strictly to family. It's the only one needed. It is the key principle behind all right human relationships, really in society. A person who grows up with a sense of respect and obedience for his parents will have the foundation for respecting the authority of other leaders and the rights of other people in general. But as we see all around us, if children are continually told they don't have to obey their parents, but can do whatever they wish, they can have their own way, they soon ignore their parents, their teachers, moral standards, and even the law. Basically, society's restraints are gone. All human relationships grow out of those of children with their parents. Children who respect and obey their parents will build a society that's ordered, harmonious, and productive. A generation of undisciplined, disobedient children will produce a society that's chaotic and destructive. Everyone doing what they see fit. And fourth, obedience brings blessing. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit, Paul took the blessing of the fifth commandment that was originally given to Israel and extended it to Christians, to Christian children who honors his parents. Obedience and honor bring blessing. Paul wrote that a believer who honors his parents can expect two blessings, that it will be well with him, and he will live long on the earth. Sin always robs us. Obedience will enrich us. Paul then turned to Christian parents, especially the fathers, and their responsibilities toward their children. He began by writing, do not exasperate your children. A different translation, maybe easier understood, says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. This is a father's first responsibility. Don't provoke your children to anger. This was a totally new concept for Paul's readers. In Paul's day, a father loving his children would have been hard to imagine. By Roman law, a father had virtual life and death power over not only his slaves, but over his entire household. He could cast them out of the house, sell them as slaves, or even kill them, and be accountable to no one. Paul was saying that contrary to the culture of his day, don't use your authority to abuse your child, but use it to encourage and build up your child. There are many ways fathers, parents really, can exasperate their children. They provoke their children and discourage them by saying one thing and doing another, by always blaming and never praising, by being inconsistent and unfair in discipline, by showing favoritism in the home, by making promises and not keeping them, by making light of promises that to the children are very important. Christian fathers and mothers need to walk in the Spirit so that they can be sensitive to the needs and the problems of their children. Then they'll be able to encourage and build up their children instead of tearing them down. Paul then went on to write to train and instruct your children. Instead of exasperating his children, a father is to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It isn't enough. It is not enough to supply the physical needs of one's children, food, shelter, clothing. The Christian father, the Christian parent, is to look after the emotional and spiritual needs as well. God has chosen parents to provide the kind of training that children need as they grow from helpless babies, infants, to young men and women ready to go out into the world. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Beginning in verse 4. Something called the Shema, for those that are into this thing. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. Train and instruct your children. Training includes the idea of learning through discipline. Discipline may mean punishment or being penalized for the sake of enforcing obedience, perfecting moral character. It also means it's trained up and developed by teaching and instruction. Both are important responsibilities of Christian parents, especially the father. Our so-called progressive society opposes the old-fashioned idea of discipline. They say, let the children express themselves. If you discipline them, you'll warp their character. There shouldn't be winners or losers. That will hurt their self-esteem. Yet discipline and rebuke are a basic principle of life and evidence of love. Don't know if you heard it, but I was pleased to hear the mother of one of those 14-year-olds who was involved in beating that elderly man a couple weeks ago say, what my son did is wrong, and he deserves whatever punishment they give him. Turn, for that matter, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, beginning of verse 11. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning of verse 11. Solomon wrote, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Chapter 13, verse 24 adds, he who spares the rod, the discipline, hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. But parents must be sure that discipline is done in the right manner. To begin with, discipline must be done in love and not in anger. Otherwise, as Paul wrote, they will become discouraged. If parents are not disciplined, they surely can't discipline others. And flying off the handle never made either a better child or a better parent. Discipline must be fair and consistent. Consistent, loving discipline gives assurance to the children. The child may not agree, but at least he knows that his parents care enough to build walls around him until he can take care of himself. And while training through discipline, parents must use instruction to train their children. The book of Proverbs is an inspired record of a father sharing wise counsel with his son. Children don't always appreciate parents' counsel. We've all been there. But that doesn't eliminate the obligation to instruct and encourage them. And again, instruction isn't just factual information, but right attitudes and principles of behavior as well. Paul's final instruction of the principle of being a spirit-filled submission is between slaves and masters, which certainly applies also to employee and employer relationships. Call it Christian labor relations. First, Paul wrote that Christian employees should obey their employer. The first reason is they are really serving Christ. Servants or employees do have earthly masters, but their true master is in heaven. Paul wrote, but like slaves of Christ, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Christian employees are to give willing obedience to those under whom they work, as if they were serving God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Peter also wrote about this. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Begin verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning verse 18. Peter wrote, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, and not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. Being a Christian should always make a person a better, more productive, more agreeable worker. If a Christian finds an employment situation to be intolerable, he should consider quitting and looking for something else. But as long as he is employed, he should do the work to the best of his ability. The faithful believer does not simply do the minimum his job requires or only work hard when the boss is watching. He never needs to be checked up on. Whether or not anyone else is around, he always does his work to the best of his ability. Obey with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart. Paul then wrote, doing the will of God from your heart. Obeying one's earthly master, employer, is the will of God. A Christian can perform any good work, secular or religious, as a ministry to Christ and to the glory of God. For this reason, the worker must do his work wholeheartedly, since he's serving Christ and doing the will of God. There are tasks assigned to slaves of Paul's day, to employees today, that are detested. But as long as they're not disobeying the will of God, they are to be done just the same. Wholeheartedly, doing the will of God from your heart. Both indicate the importance of a right heart attitude on the job. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. And finally, Paul wrote, the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. Obedience will be rewarded by the Lord. God's rewards are always dependable and always appropriate or right. An employer may not appreciate or even be aware of the good work that one does. Perhaps he's indifferent. Perhaps someone else takes the credit for the work. But God knows, and God will reward. No good thing done in God's name and for his glory can pass his notice or fail to receive his blessing. Then there are the Christian employer's responsibilities towards the employees. Paul would teach your slaves, your employees, the same way. If the Christian employer expects his workers to do the best for him, he must do his best for his employees. The employer must serve the Lord from his heart if he expects his employees to do the same. That is, he must seek their welfare. His relationship with his workers is one of mutual respect, a desire to glorify God. Colossians 3:24 says, it's the Lord you are serving. Then Paul wrote, do not threaten them. The Christian employer uses his authority, his power as little as possible, and does not throw his weight around or lord it over those under him. He's never abusive or inconsiderate. He must not threaten. He realizes that his own authority is God-given. The faithful Christian employer knows that he's a fellow servant with his employees and is accountable to the same master. And finally, he must show no favoritism. God is no respecter of persons. God will judge an employer or an employee if he sins, and God will reward him if he obeys. A Christian employer cannot expect favoritism from God simply because of his position. Nor should a Christian employer play favorites with those under his authority. Paul warned Timothy back in 1 Timothy chapter 5, keep these instructions without partiality and do nothing out of favoritism. One of the fastest ways for a leader to divide his followers and lose their confidence is for him to show favoritism and show partiality. Christian relationships, part two. The Christian family, Christian children should obey their parents. They're Christians. Obedience is right. Obedience is commanded. And obedience brings blessing from God. Christian fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Train and instruct your children. Christian employees should obey their employer. They are really serving Christ. It's the will of God to obey, and they will be rewarded by the Lord. Christian employers must seek the welfare of the employees. They must not threaten. They must not show favoritism. Spirit-filled believers, whether husbands or wives, parents or children, employers or employees, are to be equally submissive because they are equally loved, equally cared for, and equally obedient to a common master, their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all have roles and tasks that make for an orderly world, but they do not make a person less or more valuable. We all have the same Lord and face the same judgment. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are joyful, thankful, submissive, then we can enjoy harmony in the relationships of life as we live and work with other Christians. We'll also find it easier to work with and witness to unbelievers who may disagree with us when our lives are lived as God commands. Writing to Christians in Colossae, Paul had the same message. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, Paul writes, therefore, as God's chosen people, as Christians, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And were all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Lord, it's a challenge. The old nature is still there, trying to get us to do what you don't want us to do. Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to be walking close enough to you so that when you speak to us, we hear what you would have us to do and that we're quick to shine for you. Lord, help us to be the employees, the employers, the children, the parents, the husband, the wife that you've called us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.